This evening is Kathleen Kay from San Diego, yay, a.k.a. Ramona, too.
Thank you, Sam. Started here. Hi, I'm Kathleen, alcoholic. Hi. My sobriety date is November 29th, 2014. I have a sponsor. Her name is Liz. She has a sponsor. Her name is Carol. She has a sponsor. His name is Clancy. I'm a progressive alcoholic, meaning that my disease gets worse over time and not better. I was born in Fort Ord, California. My father died when I was 5 years old. He, too, was an alcoholic. He died of an alcoholic-related injury. My mother remarried, and we moved to Las Vegas, Nevada, which is where I would spend my childhood and most of my adult life. I was made a ward of the state when I was 14 years old. I had my first drink when I was 13. because I lived in a group home, most of my adolescence, I didn't have access to drugs or alcohol. So I really didn't drink again until my 21st birthday. And as you can imagine, being 21 in Las Vegas, it was quite the scenario. My disease hit me full-fledged at the time, but I didn't get treatment because it was so highly acceptable and really just went undetected. A few years later, I got married, and I had two children and made a decision not to drink and basically put my disease in hibernation until my 40s. My husband and father of my two children left when my children were 6 and 2 years old. He, too, is an addict. He currently lives in the tunnels in Las Vegas. Periodically, he would show up in their life. Usually when he did, it was not welcome, nor was it good. Being a single mom was really hard for me. It was hard for me financially. It was hard for me emotionally. It was physically draining. I eventually started my own business. It was very successful. I was able to bring it to public offering, and I sold my shares. And that afforded me the opportunity to start a charity and work on charitable causes that were near and dear to my heart. And because of my own life experiences, I started an organization that helped runaway and homeless teens. That organization is called the Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth. I ran that agency for 10 years. It's still a very successful organization and an icon in the Las Vegas community. Let's see. I'm trying to be mindful of the time here. I don't want to run into Michael's time because he has a great story. I also ran for Henderson City Council. I was elected to the City Council in 2007. And though I never remarried or lived with a man, I had a very public relationship, 5-year relationship with another elected official. And I think when my children became teenagers, I didn't have the parenting skills to cope with some of their behavioral issues, and running a homeless youth shelter and being an elected official and having an unhealthy relationship was just too much for me. And I started drinking wine and taking Xanax to relieve the stress. As I said earlier, my disease is progressive, so fast forward 4 years into that program, and I'm popping 40 pills a day and drinking a pint of vodka, and they were opiates, just to feel normal. It really, truly is a miracle that I'm alive. I was using 200 pills a week in addition to my prescription in order to support my habit. As a councilwoman, I was overseeing a fire department and a police department, and I was buying drugs illegally from street dealers. I was even getting them from one of the homeless youth that got services at my shelter. And I'm ashamed to stand here tonight and tell you that, but it's very much part of my story. It truly was incomprehensible demoralization. I eventually got fired from my job as the executive director, and I resigned my council position, and I had a very public breakup, and the newspapers had a field day with it. Is this mine, Sam? Sorry, Michael. It is now. Anyway, it just gave me more reason to drink and drink and drink. And because of the stress of the publicity, I just drank and used more. And eventually I tried to kill myself. by overdose, deliberately by mixing pills and alcohol. My 14-year-old daughter found me. She called 911. I have no memory of it whatsoever. When I woke up in my hospital bed, I'm ashamed to tell you this also, but it is my story. My first conscious thought was, fuck, I lived. And very few people outside of these rooms will or can understand the darkness and the evilness that permeates us and our disease and how we do lose our will to live, but I feel comfortable sharing it with you. The newspapers had a field day with that also. Councilwoman attempts suicide, and that was horrible. That's when the recovery community in Las Vegas reached out to me and tried to help me. I wasn't ready for their help. My solution was to pack up everything I own and leave town. My house was going into foreclosure at the time, and so I sold what little I owned and packed my 14-year-old daughter, who hated me, in the car, and we moved to San Diego in 2012. I still didn't stop drinking. I still didn't stop. A couple years later, I was sitting on my patio, drunk, chain-smoking. I didn't have my rent money, and I was lashing out at God. How could this happen? I came out of foster care and made something of my life, and now look at my life, and I was pissed. And I swear to you, I heard a voice, and the voice said to me, "Things are not happening to you. Things are happening because of you." Things are not happening to you. Things are happening because of you. And it woke me up. The next day, I went to the Poway Alano Club, and a woman named Susan gave me a 24-hour token, and I tried to tell her I don't have 24 hours. She said, "Keep it. It'll give you something to work towards." God bless you, Susan, wherever you are, because I actually didn't drink that day. I didn't drink that day. And then once I got through the first day, I got through the second day. I literally did this program one day at a time. Earlier this week, I went to the Pacific Group in Los Angeles to see Clancy get his 61-year token, and there was a lady there. Her name's Mari, and she was talking about how the obsession was just lifted from her, and it reminded me on my long drive home how bad my first 6 months sucked, that definitely was not the case with me. But I asked Carol, Clancy's sponsee, my grand sponsor, who has over 40 years of sobriety, I asked her when I was new in sobriety, and she's sponsored hundreds of women. I said, "What's the one thing that kept the sober women sober?" And she said to me, "Having a relationship with a higher power, not a belief in, Kathleen, a relationship with." And so as I embarked on my third step and made a decision to repair the relationship I had with my children, I also made a decision to repair the relationship that I had with our higher power. And it paid off for me. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to celebrate 5 years of sobriety. My life today is better than you can possibly imagine. I am happier and healthier and more peaceful today than I have ever been in my entire life. I graduated from the University of San Diego last spring. I have a master's degree in nonprofit leadership. I'm a vice president at a very large, very successful nonprofit here in town. I got my solar certification in skydiving. I couldn't have done any of that if I weren't sober. My children love me, and they respect me, and they trust me. Every ounce of professional credibility and personal credibility that I have is a direct result of my sobriety. And my sobriety is a direct result of my relationship with a loving and merciful God. And I'm very grateful to be here. If you're new, you should stick around. This isn't going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. You will find a new happiness, and you will find peace. And may God bless you and keep you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to carry the message.